This afternoon, everyone, I'd like you to begin and let's turn to the Word of God in 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 18. Join me there if you would, please. 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 18. Here we find an interesting scripture that applies to all of us. Bear with me a second while I find this page. Here we go. All right. Give you a little bit of a backdrop here. This scripture talks regarding two individuals who are very close to each other. And it wasn't in some kind of a alternate lifestyle. It was a genuine male friendship and male bonding between the prince of Israel. His name was Jonathan. He was the prince who would have taken over Saul's place as the next king of Israel, but Saul ended up forfeiting his responsibility. You know that the story continues and says he died in military combat because God no longer was with him to protect him, and he ended up being terminated. And in that battle, Jonathan also died. So that moved now to King David, who King David would become the king of Israel in the process of time. But in this case, what Saul did, Saul became very jealous of David, and as a result, he began to go after him. And Jonathan mentioned something here that had bearing on this relationship. He was going to be saddened by something that was going to happen. And notice what he said. Then Jonathan said unto David, tomorrow is the new moon. And he says, and you shall be missed. Why? Because your seat will be empty. Your seat will be empty. Brings up a very interesting point that we want to discuss today. What about your seat? What about your seat? Will you be missed if your seat is empty? I look around in the congregation and I see most of us like our special seat. We always find each other in these special seats where we're located. And we look around and we see who's here, who's not here. If I were to ask you now all to get up and move around and get into a different seat, I don't think you want to do that. Because you really like that seat that you're in. It's your seat. You've been there Sabbath after Sabbath, holy day after holy day, and what it reveals is that when suddenly you look around and you normally see somebody who is of the congregation, who normally sits in a particular seat, and they're not there, you entertain this question. Where are they? Where are they? Because they're supposed to be here today. Well, obviously, there are things that come up that impact the lives of all of us as human beings. There is reasons why. Some people may be gone on a vacation, and it takes them to a different area, a different church area to observe. Others may be homesick and can't come to church. Others may become shut-ins and can never come to church services other than through technology, which is a great blessing from God in this end time for people in that situation. But the question that we would like to ask ourselves, would you be missed? And why would you be missed? Well, we're going to look at some very serious things to consider this afternoon because, again, there's a reason you're here in this congregation. You were placed here because God has a place for you. You are a part of a dynamic that is a great plan of salvation that God is working out with His people. And he has, as the scripture clearly tells us, in the book of John, let's look to the book of John, if you would please, in chapter 14. John chapter 14. Here Jesus was talking to his disciples, and we are his end time modern disciples. We believe in what he has said and what he has outlined for us as our mentor. So in John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1, please note, "Let not your heart be troubled." So those words originated with Jesus Christ, not Sean Hannity. So just remember, even though he has borrowed those from time to time, he is not the author of them. Jesus was. And Jesus said, "You believe in God." And yes, we do. Because if you don't believe in God, then you have nothing that is substantial to believe in. You're only believing in your own ideas and your own concepts of life. And none of those concepts really satisfy. None can really give you answers to who you are, what you are, why you're on this earth. Where's it all going? There's a great plan being worked out by God Himself. And God wants us to understand that plan, and so He has given us His manual of instruction, the Word of God. And as we study it and we listen to the words of His Son, and He said, "My sheep," if we belong to Jesus Christ, He said, "My sheep, pay attention. They hear My voice." It's not a passing phenomenon. But Jesus here makes it very clear, "Let not your heart be troubled," which means there are times our heart gets troubled. And we worry about this and we're concerned about that. And Jesus is telling us, no, look, you believe in God, and if you know God, all things are possible with God, then you must understand, believe also in Me. He says, "In My Father's house," He's talking about the kingdom of God, where God the Father reigns upon the throne of His glory in the third heaven, and all the holy angels and the holy hosts of heaven. He says, "In My Father's house are many mansions," or as we have understood, various abodes or places where people will reside. Please take note of that. Places. Places play a very important part in the plan of God, because there is a place for you, a place for me, and a place for everyone who hear His voice and follow His instructions. His purpose is to bring mankind into the family of God and the kingdom of God. It's a marvelous thing that God reveals after mankind has totally ruined the opportunity in the Garden of Eden, a chance that could have taken us down a different path, but it didn't happen. And so it is through much tribulation we all have to enter the kingdom of God. Now, notice what it goes on to say. He says, "Now, I go," okay, Jesus went ultimately to heaven, and what did He say? "To prepare." There had to be something that had to be prepared. And for who? For you. For me. And for everyone who believes in Jesus and His message coming from God the Father. And so He says, "I go to prepare a place for you." He says, "And I will come again." And what is going to happen? "And I will bring you and I'll draw you unto Myself, that where I am, you may be also." Fantastic. Something is coming into the future in which Jesus said a place is being prepared for you. Now, some of the things I want us to look at in the time we have remaining and ask ourselves some very serious questions. All of us are here because we want to be here. All of us are here because we want to be a part of the kingdom of God. All of us are here because we recognize we are sinful creatures that need the saving grace of Almighty God in order to be in the family of God and the kingdom of God. Now, the question we have right now is, we know that that's the future where God wants us, but what about now, right now? What are we supposed to be doing right now? There are some things we need to look at. Let me ask this question. What kind of impact does your presence have on this congregation? What kind of impact does your presence have on this congregation? Is it a yea or is it a nay? Does it, for example, does it show strength in the congregation by your presence? Faithfulness, stability, or are you a person who reflects doubt, weaknesses, and apathy? which we talked about that, because we live in a day and age of apathy. Your presence reflects and has an impact on this congregation. Every individual congregation is impacted by the people who are in it. We certainly want to be the right kind of example that is pleasing to God. Our part in the church ought to be one filled with a faithful involvement with one another and participation. In other words, we're not called to be people who bury our talent. If you have talents and abilities, you involve yourself and you participate as part of the church. It's a shame sometimes to find that a person can be in the church for a number of years and you never knew that they had this marvelous talent because they buried it. They just never participated. Might be playing a musical instrument. It might be doing some other things that they could do. Marvelous things. God gives us all phenomenal talents and abilities. And if we don't use those talents and abilities, it stunts our growth spiritually. Because God has called us to grow and to bear fruit. Christ is the vine, and we are the branches. We get our strength and our energy coming from Jesus. And if we don't receive that strength from Jesus, then we dry up. We dry up. If we produce fruit, the Scripture tells us that the Father will prune us from time to time so that we can bear much more fruit, because that's what He wants. He wants to see growth and production in our life. And you don't just stop growing. You keep growing all the days of your life. There are things you learn from childhood all the way on up through life, and it's a marvelous journey, a journey of life that God wants us to keep focused on, or otherwise we can be derailed, or as He uses the term, you get off that road of straight and narrow way that leads to life, which only God can show you, and you end up going the broad way that leads to destruction like everybody else. So the question is, do you want to be a victim of this world, or do you want to be victorious in overcoming this world? God can grant us the guidance and help we need. So that's part of what we should be contributing as individuals, converted individuals. And if we don't capitalize on these opportunities, there are opportunities that are missed. So every day is an opportunity that needs to be utilized. Every converted Christian ought to be missed. Really ought to be missed. Because it happens, it goes through your mind. Now we have people who are not here today simply because, again, it could be weather, it could be sickness, it could be that. But don't kid yourself, you look around, you see an empty seat, and you've always seen a certain person there. You ask yourself, I wonder where they are today. Where are they? And these things clearly show us, again, that there is a need for us to be in a relationship close to God and close to one another. We're going to see some of the ramifications of that because I'm going to ask these questions and we'll go through some of the aspects that have bearing on this, and I hope you find it helpful. A good portion of review, because I'll tell you, when you share life with people and you're bonded with people and you have the same goal as those people and suddenly they're not there, you miss them terribly. And every one of us from time to time experiences loss in many different ways. So let's take a look and let's learn today what we can from this subject. Again, your place in the church of God, the body of Christ. That's the title of the message. Your place in the church of God, the body of Christ. The very first thing we need to ask ourselves, are we regularly where we need to be at the appointed times? Need to be at the appointed times. And God has given us appointed times. You and I are experiencing one right today. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. That is one of God's requirements. The world laughs at it. They don't want to pay any attention to it. And yet they're keeping all kinds of things that they call their Sabbaths, but they're not keeping the Sabbath of God. They're keeping a Sabbath to their God, but to keep the Sabbath of God is quite a different thing. And so you and I are keeping the Sabbath of God, which we are commanded to remember and to keep it holy. Leviticus 23 is an excellent place for us to just remember. It spells out our obligations, and we live those obligations throughout the year. That's how important these assignments are. God wants us to keep them because why? They keep us mindful of the great plan of God, where God is going, and what is our place in it. Well, each and every Sabbath, God says, your place is to be in front of me, right here. Fill that chair so that I can see you here worshiping me, the God who made you, and the God who gives you what you need to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And if you are there and making every effort to be there, you will be rewarded. You will be blessed of God because He blesses those who follow His commands. We demonstrate faith and thankfulness when we come and show our appreciation to our Creator. And we are strengthened and we are given the encouragement that we need. Because I'll tell you folks, when you get battered all week with the negativity of this world, it is absolutely wonderful to walk through the doors, come in here and see your brothers and sisters in Christ, young and old alike. Some are in the pre-conversion stage. They're not baptized yet. They will be in time. That's God's time working with them. But they need to see your conversion. They need to see the light of your spirit shining through the Spirit of God working in and through you. And when it does that, it's amazing what comes forth. Notice in Acts chapter 10, verse 33. Join me there, if you would, please. Acts chapter 10 and verse 33. Breaking into the flow of the chapter here, it says, immediately therefore I sent to you, and you have well done that you art come. So a message went out, the people returned, and what now? Notice what he says. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded of God. So when we come together on the Sabbath, here we are, all of us come together, and we hear things that are commanded of us from God's Word. This is part of our training. This is part of our teaching. This is what makes us stronger in our converted state. And we need to. The inner man has to be renewed day by day. You can't just go on resting on laurels. Now, some of the other appointments that we also have that the Bible talks about just very quickly. For example, salvation. God has called us to salvation. And every one of us have that access code. We understand something by the grace of God that we were called to be here in this place that we might learn of our salvation by grace through faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's why we have to have that reiterated in our minds each and every Sabbath. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 address that subject. Then what about worship? It's important that we come to give worship to our God. And that means we appreciate all that He has done for us because everything reflects the glory of God. A human being, a man, is in the image of God. So is the female, but it is expressed in a term of glory. The man is the glory of God, and the woman is the glory of the man, because she was brought on to help and assist the man. So glory is a term that we don't fully understand, but God says that as we move through the steps of life, it is from glory unto glory. It talks about that in 1 Corinthians. We are moving through a process that God is bringing glory unto glory. He talks about the stars, and he says there's a glory of this, and then there's a glory of that. He talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And then, of course, there will be differences in the glory of the light revealed in the saints of God. We won't all be like a bunch of pencils, yellow pencils. We'll all look differently, but yet in a beautiful way that it works together. We shine to the glory of God. And God is the ultimate who shines in the heavens himself. So worship is very important. Psalm 122, verse 1 says, I was glad when I went into the house of the Lord. When we come through that door, are we glad that we're together with one another? We should be. We should say, oh, thank you, dear God, leave the world behind and let me just drink in of your spirit and the time with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Because even though we're all different, we all have been bound together through the Spirit of God, and we have the same calling of life. We see and understand something that is so fantastic, it is, as to use the term, it seems unbelievable to the average person. That's because it hasn't been revealed to them. But once God reveals that to you, it is the most outstanding thing that this great God would be so kind and so loving to bring us into his kingdom and give us, as Jesus said, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You didn't earn it. None of us earn it. God gives it to us because he wants to. He wants to make his sons and daughters happy and joyful and fulfilled. Isn't that the joy of every parent with their children? Don't you want your children to be happy and fulfilled? You do everything. You sacrifice for yourself. What? For their sake. That's exactly what God does. And he gives us a small foretaste of it by giving us the family relationship on this earth. And family is another important part, a demonstration. Again, that we have to be in the right place as mom and dad teaching our children, because they have to grow up and become nurtured in the things of God. They don't grow up just knowing this. They have to be nurtured into this. Ephesians 6 and verse 5, Ephesians 6 verse 4, where it says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, but bring them up in the fear and nurture and admonition of God. Now, the reason why that's so important, because fathers can be a little overhanded. Many fathers have overstepped their bounds in some of this area. They need to encourage and nurture, not to become like a dictator over their family. Children are not stupid. You know, parents sometimes, and I heard of one case where one father said to his son, he says, son, the Bible says, obey your dad in the Lord. Well, this young man was also knowledgeable about the Bible, and he says, dad, it also says, provoke not your child to wrath. So in other words, Texas standoff, you see. You quote me the Bible, I can quote you the Bible. You have to live the Bible. You have to be the example for the right response to come across. We have to be faithful stewards, as it says in Luke chapter 12, verses 42 through 44. That's being a faithful steward. Now, a second area of consideration, and all this in the context, would you be missed if any of these areas are left out? Would you be missed if there was a lack of the demonstration of love and friendship? Would there be something missing out of your life if you didn't demonstrate? Converted Christians are the deepest of friends because they all understand they're in the same race together. We share the same calling of God. We share the understanding of life. We understand the trials and the problems and how we're going to solve these things with God's help. We don't have the right to use an excuse and say, well, we're not all alike. No, we're not all alike. Most of us would never have crossed the street for one another years ago. How is it that we're all together? A miraculous hand of God has touched each and every one of us in a very special way and brought us together through the power of God's Spirit. And that's why we can understand and love one another, because I know exactly the trials you're going through, vice versa. We know these things because we believe in the Word of God. And it has given us insight to these things. We are told in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8 that we are to develop something among ourselves. It's called fervent love, a genuine love for one another. Because we realize it's no fun going through some of the problems and trials God's people go through. You can put yourself in their shoes, and as they say, if you walk in their moccasins for a while, you'll get a different picture about things. And sure enough, you do. And it teaches you the great lesson that Jesus demonstrated when he walked and he saw the people and how they were hurting. It says he was moved with compassion. See, you and I, we're not moved with compassion normally. We have maybe a surface compassion. But boy, when you see the suffering and the hurt and the tears and the crying and the sufferings, and whether it affects you personally or very close to you or somebody you love very much, you're moved with compassion. You begin to understand what that word really means. It grabs you from the inside and twists you out because you know those people are crying their hearts out. They're hurting. And God sees it all. He has the answer to it all. But we have to look to Him and abide in His love, because how does this happen? How do you have fervent love? Okay, let's say we all love one another. We say, I love you, I love you, I love you. But how does fervent love come into play? Romans 5 and verse 5. It takes the Holy Spirit working in our lives to make that happen. You see, people today, it's too casual. They'll say these things all the time in a casual way. They'll say, love you. It's just like saying, hey, love you. Do they really love you? Superficial love is, as we say, words come cheap. It's the actions that prove that love. And that means you demonstrate it by your behavior. And that's exactly what we are in the Church of God. God has called us to work together as a team, under the auspices of God's Spirit, and with Jesus Christ as our head. He wants us to do what? Be a friend to each other. You know, everybody has to have friends. Life is terrible if you don't have friends. Somebody you can talk to. It's one individual. I talk to this individual every Sunday, and they always thank me for the fact. They say, thank you for calling. It really meant a lot. See, if you can't see them personally, you can do the next best thing. Call. Send a card. Many people have card ministries. They send it out to their friends. And those cards have words. It's chapter 8. You can't expect everybody to come running up to you. And then you say, well, I don't know, love it. And the problem they're going to have to work on and overcome. Matthew 7, and thing to be encouraged from that spiritual point of view that is necessary in order to spiritual help of God. Look at the people out there. We can't even solve our own problems in our people. Our people are hungry. I hear these commercials. And we never will until God comes back and starts readjusting the things. Nations, we have sold our birthright, unfortunately, wanting to be liked rather than be obedient. Are we encouraged? Are we examples of encouragement? And it's an encouragement. But you didn't give of yourself. And people recognize that. The outgoing mist, the connection between us and God that He has commanded, you may be healed. Is that what we need to be doing right now with all this sickness going in? And what do we understand also? Philippians 2, verses 14 and 15, that we are told to do all things and not complain. Complain. You know, the things we as human beings, we get all upset about things that sometimes aren't worth anything. We make the mountains out of molehills, and Satan knows how to work that against us. No, our purpose is to fulfill our place in the Church of God. That's to love God, to love one another, to participate and to involve ourselves with one another. Because if our involvement is just come through the door on the Sabbath, sit in our place, go home, that's it, then how do we really understand what others are going through? We're only locked up in our own little world. And that's not what God wants. He wants you to understand others are going through the same thing you're going through. And you can identify with them. And you can have compassion for them. So here again, we are to be examples of encouragement. Because there's nothing, when a person is down, there's nothing like somebody to give you encouragement. You don't find a whole lot of encouragement today when you hear people out there yelling and screaming at one another, yowling about this, calling people Nazis and everything. Boy, people have really lost sight of history. It's sad what's going on, but all this politicking that we see, and we don't want to be a part of any of that. But I'll give you one thing very clearly. Read the history books for those who aren't familiar, because the last time I saw those things out there in California where people were being separated, children from parents temporarily, I saw those young people playing soccer, dressed real nice, having food presented to them. I don't recall that happening in Nazi Germany and Poland and all those concentration camps. Those people looked like skeletons. They looked like they were half ready to die. So I think somebody's really screwed up in their heads when they make statements like that, calling people Nazis. And there's a lot of things that are not right. But that's not right to go calling people Nazis and the like just because they don't like a certain way of doing things. You and I, no wonder God called us out of this world. He don't want us to be a part of that. What He wants us to be is exactly what He outlines in Scripture for us, that He wants us to follow in His ways. He wants us to be individuals who are willing to count the cost and stay with God. That brings us to a fourth point, and that is He's teaching us dependability. Dependability. You know, if a person is a dependable person and suddenly they're not there, you miss them. Why? Because they were so dependable. They helped and worked within the framework. But again, dependability depends on the individual. The Scriptures make it very clear that we are to be dependable in following God's admonition to purge sin out of our life. Get rid of all that appears, all appearance of evil. Stay away from it. How do we know? Because the days of unleavened bread teach us that very thing. We're going to be useful to God only if we can serve Him. Now, how does He know that whether we're good servants? Blessed is that servant when the Lord comes, finds so doing. We've got to be doing. Doing what? His will. What is His will? What's contained in the Word of God. And we are preaching that gospel and trying with God's help to prepare ourselves for what's coming. Brethren, I don't think any of us really comprehend the seriousness of what is coming in the years ahead. And we're going to need that big, wonderful, what would you call it? Job said, Satan accused Job. He says, you know, God, you protect him. You got him hedged in with that round you're protecting. That's what we've got to have. We've got to have that hedge to protect us from what is coming. And it's not going to be pretty. Scripture gives us, and we don't dwell on that because that's not our calling, to dwell on all the bad that's going to come. Our purpose is to understand the joy that is going to come beyond that. Man can't see it right now. And so, you and I have been given eyes to see, as Jesus told His disciples, unto you it has been given to know. Your place each and every Sabbath is important. We know what Hebrews chapter 10 tells us. Join me in Hebrews chapter 10. This is something that can begin to happen in a person's life and in past. And so the warning is there. And what does it say? That you and I are beginning in verse 24. We're supposed to, let's consider one another and to provoke. Now, that doesn't mean to aggravate, to get in your face type of provoking. It means to stimulate. It means to help, energize, help the individual, provoke them, stimulate them unto love and to good works. That's our calling. Each and every Sabbath, each and every opportunity we have to work with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. And then notice what he says. He says, not forsaking the assembly of ours. It's so important that under all conditions, God is saying, look, unless there are extenuating circumstances that keep you from being there where I have commanded you, I want you to be in your place. I want you to be in your seat so I can have instruction given to you to help strengthen you in your spiritual walk with God so that you know how and what's expected of you. You can't find out if you're not there. Plain and simple. God has outlined what our course of action should be. And if we're not where we're supposed to be, and we're striving to be the converted person that he wants us to be, we're going to be missed. There's something that's keeping us either away from God, or there's a legitimate reason, sickness or something comes along, accidents like that can happen to people and they have to be taken to the hospital. These are things that, again, we are trusted with a sacred trust from God, and God wants us to be faithful in that service. We are to be helpers in time of need. As our needs arise, we should rush in to help one another reasonably with what we can do. See, we can't help everybody. You can't sink your own ship trying to help everybody else. But where you can help, you want to help. And one of the most important areas of help is pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ. That we can do. And then if we can do anything else above, we have a talent, ability to help under that trial, help them where we can. And God knows all. He knows what we can and cannot do. He doesn't ask us to do more than what we can. But he does ask that we have to be helpers because we're being trained for that period of time. When we will be doing what? Helping all mankind rebuild the world that they once knew that was completely brought down into ashes. We're living in a time like Noah. It's a dangerous time. And the world was totally taken back and did not recognize the seriousness of what was about to happen, that flood. And there's another great upheaval coming. A tribulation that is going to defy description. And God tells us to warn us so that in prophetic picture that the church will be ready and prepared for what is coming with the help of God. And that is the secret to why we're here each and every Sabbath. And just to, as we say, chill out and have a quiet Sabbath at home is not good enough. Maybe on occasion you need a time to study, to pray. It's not a time to fast on the Sabbath as a general rule, but you may have a serious problem and you need time. You may not be able to do it during the week. They're all things that need to be looked at very carefully. One of the things that God wants us to understand in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 4 and 15, 14 and 15. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, we are told, that we are to do what? We are to consider each other, brethren, warn them that are unruly. There are sometimes people who are unruly that need help. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men. In other words, our goal is to be the ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And it goes on to say then in verse 15, 14, it says, see that none render evil for evil, but follow all that which is good among yourselves and among all men. So there's a very important aspect of that that God wants us to keep in mind. We have a regular responsibility. It's not an easy one. It's going to put the pressure on us. But we have to determine in our own minds to count the cost. Is it worth it, what God is offering us? And will people be missed in the kingdom of God who could have had a chance to be there but did not follow through? Some interesting questions to think about. In conclusion, I would just like to answer this very area of concern, that if our seat is empty, does the church feel your absence every Sabbath? If you're there, we rejoice. If you're not there, do we feel it? Oh, I believe we do. I believe we feel that loss. Because when one hurts, we all hurt, the scripture tells us. Corinthians says we're a body. With one hurts, we all hurt. When one's happy, we're all happy. We want to see good things happen to God's people. We don't want to see heartaches, sufferings, but it does happen. God knows our limitations. He's never going to put anything on us greater than we can bear. We rejoice in Him for giving us that encouragement. But your place, I can't emphasize this enough, your place, my place, all of our places in the church of God is very important. We're not here by accident. We're here because God has allowed something to happen in our lives that has brought us to this place. And that place where you're sitting right now in the congregation, because you are the body of Christ and the head is Jesus Christ, looking down upon all of us, evaluating our situations, guiding and directing the affairs of our life because we believe Him, that He is going to do that, like He says. But if you remember how Jesus also taught, how we react to one another is very important. Not only in the church, but how we react to everybody who we come in contact with. You know, when I go to the post office, strangers come there, they open the door for me. They don't know who I am. And I say, "Thank you, sir. May the blessing of God be with you." And they look around kind of shocked. They don't hear things like that. But I just pass it on for what it's worth, department. And they'll look around kind of shocked and say, "Thank you." Who does not want to be blessed? And when you say something kind like that to a person, they don't know who you are, but you wanted me to have a blessing? Why is it that people, even in the church of God, when we have the blessing of the little children, people who are not members of the church all bring their babies, if they're family related, they bring their babies to have their babies blessed. Why? Who doesn't want to have their child blessed of God? Very important. You don't have to be a member of the church. Everybody wants a blessing. And you and I are called to be a blessing to everyone we come in contact with. So my answer to you, dear brethren, bless one another by your presence, by your actions. Love one another. Do the things that God has commanded. And you're going to be happy beyond your wildest dreams, because when you help somebody else, not only do you make them feel good, you feel good for doing what God has commanded. The blessing is upon you. Yes, Jesus put it this way. Matthew 25, verse 40. Let's go to Matthew chapter 25. We'll end on this scripture. Much more we could say, but again, what is your impact as a member of the church, or even as an affiliate member? Do you bring joy and happiness to the church, or do you bring a grumpy attitude that we have to put up with at the church? I hope not. I hope you don't bring that. That's what you get in the world. Leave it out there and just bring a smiling face and bring the Spirit of God with you. All right, in Matthew chapter 25, verse 40. And the king said and answered, and he said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you. Now this is where some very important things were happening. You read the whole context. They were asking Jesus, well, when did we give you a drink? And when did we do these things? Because Jesus says, if you have done these things, you know, this is very important. And then he goes on to say, Inasmuch as you have done this to the least of these, the people you interface with in living life, he says, you have done it unto me. What have you done lately that reflects on Jesus Christ? If this is not food for thought for all of us to consider, we do it unto Jesus Christ. We're not doing it just to human beings. And God wants us to keep that perspective so that His blessing can continue to flow upon us. And He wants us to do it in such a way that, dear brethren, when you're not in your place and you're not here on the Sabbath to give glory to God, you will be missed. You will be missed.